Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. That war came home to America again yesterday with an attack on innocent civilians in New York City by a man of Uzbek origin in this country as a result of a bizarre program called the Diversity Lottery. He has murdered 8, as best we can tell. Some 11 or 12 others have been badly wounded. And to discuss not only this incident, but to try to help make sense of what it's about and why it is continuing to happen here, as well as elsewhere, and why it is entirely likely, all other things being equal, that it will happen again, and probably with even more horrific consequences, is our regular guest at about this time each week, Diana West, one of the most thoughtful and, I think, courageous analysts of the challenges of our time. You can find her writings these days at dianawest.net. She has been a longtime syndicated columnist and best-selling author of 2 terrific books, very much relevant to the present topic, Death of the Grown-Up and American Betrayal. Diana West, it's so good to have you with us to help make sense, if we can, of what has just happened and what we had best do to try to prevent it from happening again. Welcome back.
Thank you, Frank.
I'd like to talk with you about a concept, Diana, that I think is at the core of this. We don't know a lot about the individual, but this perpetrator apparently shouted Allahu Akbar, the cry of the jihadists, particularly in the process of martyring themselves, killing others. I think the term is submission. It is, of course, the literal meaning of the word Islam. But I'm interested in your thoughts as to whether, as I think, what we're witnessing here and elsewhere in the free world is the fruit of decades now, really, of at least implicitly the practice of non-Muslim submission to these Sharia supremacists. What are your thoughts on that?
It certainly is the beginning of our shock and awareness of being under attack as far as the beginning goes. And from that beginning, we have been censoring ourselves on the full, frank, honest, and investigatory discussion of Islam, the institution of jihad, the purpose of jihad, which is to make the world submit to Islam, and what that means when Muslim immigration is bringing Islam along with jihadists, along with jihad, all across the previously Christian, post-Christian Western world, Judeo-Christian world. So this is the crux of the problem, that we have essentially strangled ourselves and our understanding of what is happening to us, which is why when this awful attack yesterday happened in New York City, the FBI, even with a man shouting Allahu Akbar, according to witnesses, the FBI actually put out a statement saying it was too early to determine whether the incident is terror-related. And I have that in a screenshot from television. So, I mean, this was a truth statement. Unbelievable.
Even as the mayor of New York City, who has probably done as much as anybody to weaken the city's defenses against this sort of thing, was declaring it terrorism.
And this is because of the training in submission, the training in, of course, we should probably be discussing the term dhimmitude, which goes back to the historian Bat Yor's understanding of the behavior of non-Muslims under the influence of Islamic law, under the fear of Islamic law, before a country is Islamized.
Is actually conquered.
actually conquered and truly under this law, the behavior is of the dhimmi, those who live under Islamic law by sufferance.
Now, Diana, one of the things that I've taken away from all of this has been that when the Sharia supremacists, for want of a better term, the jihadists, perceive the infidel behaving as a dhimmi or otherwise submitting to them out of fear, perhaps, or a misplaced belief that if only they're accommodating, they're demonstrating their diversity, that they'll behave less badly, these jihadists. But in fact, the doctrine of Sharia, the Quran, commands that you must make them feel subdued when you see them behaving in a submissive fashion. How is that factoring into this? And I'd ask you specifically to talk a little bit, if you would, about the Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, I think the best way to describe that is it's working according to plan. It's working according to it's working as it has always worked. This formula for conquest. This is why it is so important to study the history, not just of any one country, but of all the countries that previous to their Islamic conquest had a multiplicity of religions and ethnicities and cultures. When we first saw the Buddhas of Bamiyan dynamited by the Taliban, I remember I was actually charged. I was a Washington Times editorial writer, and I was given the task of commenting on this. And frankly, and honestly, I didn't really know what I was looking at. But this was an opportunity to learn. I mean, it looked like just wholesale destruction for no reason. But of course, there is a reason. And the reason is to destroy what came before. And this is why we see attacks on cultural sites. You know, at the Louvre, we saw the Louvre attack, was it last year? I mean, this is not something just out of the sky. There are formula here. And the Muslim Brotherhood is an engine of this same doctrine, a very organized one, a very financed one.
And we actually know a lot about it, if only we have the wit to look for it, notably in the explanatory memorandum that is the secret plan of the Brotherhood for conquering this country. And Diana, one other aspect of this, which I think is so central to what we do about this, and whether if we fail to act, we're going to see this become a vastly bigger problem, is the Brotherhood has been putting into place as part of their domination of the Muslim community in this country. I personally don't believe that all Muslims want to live under Sharia or want to force the rest of us to submit to it. But the Brotherhood for sure does, and they're starting with their own community. They're building mosques and other infrastructure across the country, and mosques, let's be clear, are sort of multi-use facilities that have, among other purposes, in many cases, at least under these jihadists, the training and recruiting and enabling of some of these who are prepared to go out and act murderously as well as use a more stealthy kind of jihad. But is it important to your way of thinking, Diana, that we be not only surveilling, but where we find evidence of this kind of, well, seditious behavior at best, and at worst, pre-violent behavior, we shut these sorts of institutions down? We undo this kind of infrastructure in America.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a situation where, frankly, until there is reciprocity whereby churches can go up in Mecca, I think it's a good idea not to permit mosques to come up here. I mean, this is a situation where, yes, this becomes an important organizing structure for the actual jihadists involved. And yes, the fact of Muslims who are not engaged in violence is, of course, part of the panoply of Islam. However, this is where I think Noni Darwish's just sheer brilliance cuts through in terms of understanding those are the Muslims who tolerate the violence of their society. That's how just over the centuries this has accrued. And what she fears and sees happening in the West is that the rest of us, non-Muslims, are becoming moderate Muslims in the sense of tolerating the violence, tolerating the repression. And that is the most dangerous thing. That is the most dangerous thing when we become the moderate Muslims.
It's an interesting concept. I'm not sure whether it's more accurate than describing us as dhimmis or not, but whichever it is, if we persist in it, we're going to see them making redoubled efforts to make us feel subdued. Dinah West, we have to leave it at that. We are hard out of time. Thank you so much for all that you do. Check out her great work at dinahwest.net. We'll talk with you again next week, Dinah. Daniel Horowitz joins us next. We'll be discussing, among other things, all of this and the judicial tyranny that is contributing to it in this country. That and more, straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.